We look at Radish Magazine today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Laura Shaw is the person behind Radish Magazine. We'll chat with her next on Scribble. Welcome, Laura. It's good to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're the person we talk to. What is your title for Radish? You editor, publisher?
Editor.
Editor,
yep.
Okay. Well, factotum is a good one because factotum does everything.
And that's kind of, yeah, a little bit of
how long
what
have you
entails.
Been the editor?
Since 2015.
Oh, okay. And how did you get to be editor?
So, kind of by course of events. I started with Radish actually back in 2007 as an intern when I was over at Augustana College. Then I joined the Dispatch and Argus as a reporter, and I continued to write for Radish throughout my time as a reporter. And when the position came open, I threw my hat in the ring, and here I am.
Oh, well, what moved you to get into journalism at all?
Well, I kind of got into it when I was in school at Augie. I started writing for the student newspaper there. I just like keeping the community informed about its resources and about the things that are going on around them.
I think journalism is some kind of disease, don't you,
Roald? Well, I think, yeah.
Once it gets in your blood, it's
pretty much there.
Yeah, I did a column all the way through college, too, for our school paper called Tweets by Tweet. I should have copyrighted
yes.
Tweet.
Yes. Missed opportunity.
Well, it's not too late, Roald. You can still write.
So in a word or two or a paragraph, Laura, what is Radish?
So Radish is a monthly healthy living publication distributed here throughout Western Illinois and Eastern Iowa. We talk all about local foods and local businesses, area spots where you can get outside and enjoy the outdoors, farmers markets, health and wellness, environmental stewardship, kind of all of the above under the blanket of healthy living.
I think it's the only I read two magazines that I get cover to cover. One is Radish and the other is Big River.
Mm-hmm.
And reading from cover to cover means the ads, too, because I think in both cases, the ads are really interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they kind of fit what we're all about.
Right.
Do you get the ads as well?
I don't handle the ads.
Oh, okay.
That's where our editorial and our advertorial departments are separate. But we do kind of feed on each other in that the advertisers kind of help me keep me informed about what we've got going on in the area and kind of vice versa.
Mm-hmm. When you put it together, you know, you say you're a reporter, you're editor of Radish. Yeah. How do the two combine? This is not your sole obligation at the newspaper, is it?
Correct. No, it is not. Uh-huh. I also have some news duties as well. I'm in the, weekend reporter rotation. I do some holidays here and there and kind of pick up wherever they need the help in the newsroom. And I also edit a publication put out by the Quad City Times called QC Senior Magazine.
And don't you do the Gold Book, too?
I used to do the Gold Book, yes. That is no longer in print, but while it was, I did.
Has that gone out of?
For the foreseeable future for now, yes.
Why do you think that went out before the Radish?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Because
those decisions come from above my head.
It seems to me the Gold Book was really sort of for the ritzy established class, and Radish is for those sort of radicals that, think healthy eating is worth doing.
Right. I don't know. Something that my boss has decided.
Radish has really had some staying power.
Absolutely.
Describe a typical Radish reader.
There really is no typical Radish reader, I would say, because there's something in it for everyone. You know, whether you you know, are interested in local foods and you're someone who goes to the farmers markets, or you're somebody with kids and you're looking for ways to help get them outside more. You know, it's really kind of an all-inclusive publication for everyone in that respect.
It's interesting that you have magazines within newspapers. How does that work? Does Radish have a lifetime outside the newspaper?
Radish is not an insert. Radish is available in doctor's offices and libraries and yoga studios. It is not inserted into the daily publication. Some magazines are. For instance, the QC Senior magazine that I mentioned, it is an insert.
Why is that?
Just how they decided. We were able to reach a larger circulation with Radish than we are with the daily newspaper. We go, you know, as far away as Cedar Rapids and into the Iowa and into the Sterling Rock Falls area in Illinois and Galesburg and beyond. We're able to reach more people circulation-wise that way. And because it's a niche publication, it's not something that you're going to find in necessarily in all of those places.
That's interesting because when you think about the logistics of getting the newspaper to homes and establishments, then you have a greater reach with Radish, I think. Do the same people handle the distribution of the magazine as the newspaper?
I believe so, yes.
Boy.
Also out of my realm, but.
How long does it take you to put an issue together?
It kind of all depends. I work on it throughout the course of a month, and we work pretty far in advance. So we just put January to bed. It's hit stands. Right now I'm working on February and March. So I kind of go through and kind of see what we can cover for the month. We have a handful of freelance writers who do the same. They kind of keep an eye on things, and a lot of that's tied to their own interests. But we kind of just go from there, and I kind of get a list going, see what the daily newspapers are working on, where we can kind of help each other out, and yeah.
Do you get a lot of unsolicited freelance submissions?
Not really. We don't have a whole lot of people who are interested in writing. A lot of it is kind of spammy stuff, you know, random people from all over the country and world, but not really anyone local who's interested.
Well, now, I see going through here, I don't see your name as author. So you edit, you end,
yes.
And organize and so on.
Yes. For instance, for this issue, I, in the center of the publication, I worked on a little guide for our Winter Wellness Festival. So that kind of took up my time for the month. And as editor, I don't get to do a whole lot of writing anymore. Those are the, when I find a good story, chances are I've got to hand it off to someone else to write it.
What in the heck is the Radish Winter Wellness Festival?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Right in front of me. How could I miss it?
This year will be our fifth annual Radish Winter Wellness Festival, and it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on January 19th. And this year we're going to be inside South Park Mall in Moline. And basically it's a celebration of everything the area has to offer in health, wellness, local foods, healthy foods, all that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of part vendor fair, part informative fair. We've got demonstrations going on. There's going to be, you know, at the various booths, there'll be giveaways and more demonstrations and just kind of Radish come to life, if you will.
That's on a Saturday, the 19th.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be sure that this program goes a week ahead of that.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah, because they'll give you the right bump for that. But do you have – what kind of participation do you get in this?
We usually have people lining up at the door to
really?
To get into it, absolutely. And people from all walks of life, all ages, you know, grandparents with their grandkids and younger folks, really everyone comes. And we've got, you know, a great host of booths, you know, everything from chiropractors and area grocery stores, area fitness studios, really – all across the boards.
Do they have stalls or something?
Yep, we've got tables set up. And this is going to be a little bit different of a format. Usually our Winter Wellness Festival has been held outside in a tent. And a lot of people, we got some feedback. They didn't really enjoy it. It was kind of hard to keep climate control. So this year we decided to move it indoors. And so where you would have found a bunch of tables in a tent, now we're going to be spread out through the corridors of the mall. So There will be, you know, tables with a couple of people at each booth. You can kind of walk through as you please. Take a little mall walk when you're done.
Uh-huh.
Really, really relaxed.
This isn't the only event you have, though, is it, during the year?
We also host the Healthy Living Fair every June. It's always the Saturday of Father's Day weekend. And we've bounced around a couple of places throughout the Quad Cities, but generally it's in front of the Freight House Farmers Market in Davenport.
Mm-hmm. Gee, it's are you a ringmaster for this? I mean, do you show up with a top hat and all that?
Absolutely. our advertising staff thankfully handles the bulk of it, but I certainly am there to answer any questions. If people have any story ideas, you know, I'm there. It's a really good time.
Do you have to solicit? I mean, I see these different names throughout Radish. Are these people that you call, or do they call you?
A little bit of both. Sometimes a business will hear about us and they're interested in getting an ad in, or they're interested in telling the community about what they do. Sometimes it's just me out and about or on the internet and just trying to see what we've got going on around us. So it's a little bit of both.
But the people who write, do you have regulars?
We have a handful of regulars, yes. Chris Cashin's been writing for us for years. Katie Williams, Nicole Lauer, Brandy Welvert, who also is a former editor. So a lot of times you'll see some similar names every month, but, you know, we're always looking for people who are interested in writing, have a background in it.
Well, what kind of stories are you interested in?
Basically, anything healthy living related. So it could be about, you know, a new fitness craze that's out there, or a new business that has a focus on, you know, local items or healthy items and things like that. Basically anything that would fall under the blanket of healthy living and local.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's your cue roll.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I guess I would have called Radish an alternative lifestyle magazine, but that's not really accurate, is it? I mean, you steer away from bizarre new alternative medicines and things like that, or do you? I mean, it seems to me there's a fine line there between...
Right. I guess what I would say is a little bit of it is us just trying to educate people about what's available, and then they can make their own decision as to whether or not that's something that's right for them. Mm-hmm. So...
Give me an example.
I don't know.
If someone...
Well, let's take marijuana.
Okay. Something like that. You know, we do actually have a local business who's doing the CBD oils, not exactly the same thing as marijuana, but, you know, if they're a business who's offering these services or these items, you know, it's certainly worth looking into. We can tell people, you know, what the claims are. If we can find a larger story, you know, from perhaps the Associated Press that has studies that we wouldn't otherwise have access to, you know, you certainly could include those and then sort of leave it up to the people as to whether or not they think it's right for them, you know, whether they want to consult their doctor or, you know, the like. Just keeping people informed about what exists and then kind of letting them take it from there.
Do you, given the stance that Radish has, do you get any negative feedback?
We really haven't had any, honestly.
Who would be against healthy living?
Well, for instance, my daughter just finished a 12-week course going into Chicago weekends on yoga for the classroom.
Yeah.
Okay. The lesson they learned the first night was, in the educational system, don't ever call it yoga. You know, and she's tried out, she teaches first grade, and she's tried out some things, and she said, it really works.
Right. I've read a number of stories that have talked about
but
that.
But there are people that are very suspicious of yoga because it's a religion, right? It's
right.
Not our religion.
Right.
So I would expect that you would get a little more.
We haven't had any pushback. Not
do
that I
people like
aware
that
of.
Just not read it?
Perhaps because it's something that you would pick up. You know, it's not something that's necessarily sent to you unless you, you know, request it. Maybe that's the difference, but for the most part, you know, we've had nothing but positive feedback.
It also seems to me that the segment of the population you reach is much larger now than it was when Radish began.
Oh, absolutely. When we began, you know, back in late, 2005,
right.
You know, a lot of this kind of stuff was really unheard of. You know, you had your farmers markets, you had a handful of, you know, local sort of crunchy, if you will, grocery stores, but there was nothing like it is now. Now you can walk into pretty much any grocery store, you know, be it big box or discount or the like, and you're going to find local and organic foods.
Right.
You know, you're going to find more yoga studios. And, you know, Radish, I guess, was kind of a pioneer in that in our area, in digging up what all of this is all about and where you can find it.
Yeah, when it first came out, it really I can understand why you didn't put it in every issue of the Argus, because I would have thought your typical Argus reader would be a little suspicious of what's going on here.
Right, but I think as more and more of these businesses pop up and people are more and more educated about, you know, local foods and environmental stewardship and the like and our health, I think it's kind of, you know, help it evolve from there.
Well, you know, the whole business of journalism is to make us aware of the world we live in. Not only its problems, which always make the headlines,
right,
but also what sustains it. And it is true that society has changed.
Absolutely.
I think in a good way, in that people have become more tolerant. There are some who become less tolerant, darn near intolerant. But in the main, I know when I look around, I think of pictures. I've mentioned this before. When I was a kid in Memphis, when you'd go to the Memphis Chicks baseball game, all the men were there in dark suits and ties and Homburgs. And when the weather got warm, they put on straw hats. But they all dressed formally. Now, when I go to the opera, you find jeans right. as well as evening clothes. It's the world has loosened up quite a bit. I will leave that to Roel to judge whether it's good or not, but it's definitely changed.
Right.
And Radish has found a, I don't know if it's, would you call this a niche magazine or is it something of more general interest?
Well, I think it was a niche magazine that's become general interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when the River City Reader started out, too. That was really an alternative magazine. Was it called Slowfish or something like that, I think, at the beginning? And that's sort of found its place, too. And there are subjects still that with alternative medicines, things that Radish won't touch, right? Or is that, am I wrong?
I guess that would be like a case-by-case basis type thing. I don't know that I could speak in generalities about that.
How much freedom do you have as an editor to choose your subjects?
I pretty much have all of the freedom I need, I guess. Mm-hmm. If it came down to something that was a little more controversial, you know, I might talk to one of my editors about it. But, you know, so far we haven't come across that. At least not, you know, not as far as what this area has to offer. You know, maybe in, you know, larger metropolitan areas, that might be kind of an issue. But as far as what we've got here in the Quad Cities, I honestly haven't come across that.
Now, you say we have the January issue in hand
yeah.
here, and you're working on February and March.
Correct.
How far ahead do you work?
It kind of depends. It's about a month and a half, 2 months. But we also, you know, if something larger is coming up, for instance, the Healthy Living Fair, we'll kind of keep a pulse on that as far as, you know, what we could include in that and then therefore what I could include, you know, story-wise to back that up. Or for, you know, holidays, if I come across something really interesting that I think might be great for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or Halloween or things like that, you know, I'll, you know, stick it in a folder and make sure I remember it when the time comes. But
so I'm assuming
it's kind of an ever-evolving.
Since Radish is free, the money for it comes from advertising.
Correct. Advertising. Pretty and much. We have a handful of direct mail subscriptions.
Okay. You do
have. It's also an option. Yes.
Okay. And yes. Do people subscribe?
They do. They do.
Yeah. How do you do that?
So you call me. we've got that information in the front of every booklet.
Oh, let me take a look here.
On page 3.
you
can
page
send a personal
three.
Check or you can call in with your credit card information and we can get you signed up for that. It's great because, you know, sometimes if it's later in the month, by the time you get to a store or whatnot, and they've all been picked up, or, you know, maybe you live in a more rural community and you don't really get into these places very often. You know, it's a great, uh-huh. great option to make sure you don't miss one.
Well, I see just going through here, $19.95 for 1 year, $29.95 for 2 years to have it mailed to you.
Yep.
But talk about being responsible. Mentions here, Radish uses soy-based ink and recycled content in its newsprint and is 100% recyclable.
It is.
You can't get more.
You can't. And a lot of times we will write about craft projects where you can cut up the magazine itself and use it for it. So always looking out.
Tell us again about the big event coming up on the 19th.
Yeah, so it's our 5th annual Winter Wellness Festival. And as I said, it'll be at South Park Mall, Moline, in the corridor kind of in front of the former Yonkers building. We'll have a handful of booths there with some demonstrations. And each of the booths will be doing giveaways and their own demonstrations and drawings and that kind of stuff.
What are the hours?
It is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
So only have 3 hours to crowd all this in.
Yep. Usually our Healthy Living Fair runs a little bit longer in the summer, and our Winter Wellness Festival has always been a little bit shorter. It gets dark earlier. It's cold. People want to get in and get out.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. And you want to get in the part of the day when if the sun is out, it's out.
Exactly, exactly. Those precious few hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, Laura, it sounds as if you have a going concern here. It's interesting to see how this radish has grown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
Uh-huh. Well, Laura Shaw is the editor of Radish Magazine. We have a big event coming up on Saturday the 19th, so that'll be 1 week from today. So we urge you to think about that, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at South Park Mall. And Radish Magazine, I imagine, will be available at the fair.
It will, and past copies as well if you've missed one.
Okay, here's your chance to stock up on radishes. Once again, Laura Shaw, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
Shameless on my part, talk about radishes growing and so on.
Right. But, you know. Well, it is an interesting magazine, and it is full of...
It's the little publications like that that pop up that gives you hope, because we keep talking about print is gone. You know, the newspapers are done, magazines are done, and yet they won't die.
It is amazing how many of these, too, are in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm assuming in every metropolitan area.
That's true, that you really are not going to wipe out the ink-stained tribe that produces these things. And I'm all for that, because the thing about writing, as I have discovered, is you become a little less secure about what you're stating, because once it's in print, boy, you know, people can go back to it. But the nice thing about radio is it just goes into the air.
There, we do have to interview the 5 or 6 women in Lost Nation, Iowa, who put out a weekly mimeographed little newsletter, since there's no newspaper in Lost Nation. It's called The Scoop, and it tells what's going on in Lost Nation and who did what to whom and little jokes and things like that. And then I discovered if we could get him, there is a man in Princeton, Illinois, who daily puts out a little one-page Xeroxed thing with a few jokes of the day, a few information of the day, businesses that are opening, businesses that are closing, just odds and ends of gossip about the town.
I wonder how it circulated.
I think it just takes it into grocery stores and places like that.
We'll have to look into these things.
I'm trying to get on to him and see if we can get him to come.
Well, in the meantime, reach into the book bag and tell us what's
interesting. Well, I thought since we've just been talking about healthy living and nature and things like that, that I'd toss into the mix another one of the many books that has been coming out the past few years on birds. Oh. You know, we used to think that birds were really stupid, that they were, in Descartes' terms, automatons, right? They were, you know, all animals for Descartes were like little automatons. You wound them up. So that it was Descartes, I think, who said that if you break a dog's leg, you know, it may look like it hurts, but it doesn't really hurt. It's just a automatic reaction.
Tell that to the dog.
Yeah, well, and birds particularly, I mean, look at all the negative things we say about birds. Bird brain, right? Eat crow and pigeon toed and things like that. But the people have been studying birds and realize that birds are far more intelligent than we ever gave them credit for. They do the most amazing things. And this is a book, it's one of many that Don Erickson has given me on nature, by a man named John Young, J-O-N-Y-O-U-N-G, called What the Robin Knows.
What the Robin Knows?
And it turns out the robin knows a lot more than Birdie with the Yellow Bill and picking up worms and things. It's a book on how birds operate, and it is extremely detailed. Of all the books on bird life that I have read this past year, this one is the most detailed. The message of this book is to humans who are reading the book, too, pay attention. And one of the things he recommends that I'm going to start doing this spring when I can stand to get outside is just find a spot on your in your yard and sit there for 20 minutes a day and don't move and just watch and listen to the birds. And it turns out that birds have dialect. We all know the chickadee's song and we all know, you know, oh, that's a robin, oh, that's a wren. But I think what we don't know, because we don't really pay very much attention, is that birds have different ways of saying the same song. In the same way that we can look at how many different ways we can say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to clean up your room? Yes. Do you want some ice cream? Yes. You know, yes, 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 or maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can inflect. Birds do exactly the same thing. And if you listen carefully, bird language is intricate and complicated, and it tells you how far away an enemy is. There are some sad events. A red hawk tail to raise from being hatched as an egg into fledging requires 66 baby birds to eat.
Really?
Each.
Huh. That's a lot.
Boy. Nature, red in tooth and claw.
Yeah. Right?
And so birds have to pay attention. They can't be automatons.
No, as a matter of fact, I was sitting on the porch next door where the Genesis Guild has an office, sitting on the swing in an evening and listening to the birds, I discovered, you know, that they are conversing.
They are.
They really are.
Interspecies, too.
They do. And I remember they got into a terrible, this one bird just got on his high horse and was carrying on. And it was, I thought, that is different from what I heard from this creature yesterday, and I found it fascinating.
You're doing the very thing this guy suggests. Listen and pay attention.
Well, and that's hard for me to do, Roald, but I'm gaining my patience listening to you tell me. What is the book again?
What the Robin Knows by John Young.
Okay.
Well worth reading.
All right, and well worth following that example. I'm Don Woot with Roald Tweet. Back next week for another Scribble.